I get asked to sing this song quite often when a family member or a loved one has passed away. And here recently, we've had to say goodbye to two, Miss Shirley, this past week. And I know Sister Lorenza was out a week for her loss, and so our heart goes out to those families. Over the years, if you are in church long enough, and especially in ministry, as I'm sure Brother David can attest, you lose count of the number of funerals that you attend and calling hours that you go to. But over the years, each one that I can remember, except for a very, very few, this song reflects all of the ones that we've had to say goodbye to over the years. I hope it provides comfort this morning. Brother Ron, if you would, please. I can just see them walking on the shores of heaven. They're praising the Lord and watching the tide roll in. Friends that have gone on, oh, how I miss you so. And somehow I know if you could, that you'd let me know. That you're doing fine, and it doesn't hurt anymore. Couldn't be better. Heaven is worth waiting for. That you miss me too. Until then, you'll be praying for me. And I know if you could talk to me now, then here's what you'd say to me. It's such a beautiful place. Wish you were here. Nothing but clear, sunny days. Well, it never rains and no one complains. And we haven't seen. A great time.
that song. Do I have any young people like to talk to me? Show me your pink boots. She's got some pink boots.
Yeah, mine's
good. And you got black shoes. Those are nice.
I need black shoes.
Yeah. You can if they want it. Would y'all like some water?
There's barely water in there.
There's barely water in there, is it? Oh, that's for babies. You're not a baby. Are you? Oh. How about some water? You want some water? There's not much in there, is there?
I'll still drink.
You know, why the water's gone?
You drink.
Yeah, because the buffalo drank it all. It's all gone. But I could fill it back up and then I could offer you some water. That would be all right, too. You know, when I go through life, sometimes I get feeling empty like this jug. I just throw a bottle. And that's when I look up and I trust in Jesus. Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. Wouldn't y'all like Jesus for a friend? You want Papa for a friend? That's all right. Papa's a good friend. You need Jesus too. Say wave to Papa. Say wave to Papa. You love your Papa? All right. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus loves you too. Let me say a prayer for you, then we'll give you some coloring books. And I think my partner here is going to give you some gum. Y'all like gum?
Yes.
Don't put it in your hair, though, okay? All right. Father, I thank you for these precious young people. And Lord, I pray as they go to Children's Church, Lord, that you'll bless them, and keep them, and teach them all about Jesus, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. I got a good helper here. All right. They're all the same, sweetie pie. Yeah. You want the bottle? All right. And audience, if you would, turn to Isaiah 42. Good job. Y'all head out to Children's Church. Miss Beth is waiting on you. Have fun. Nobody wanted my empty bottle. You want the empty bottle? There you go. Tristan's my helper. I got a good helper, don't I? Isaiah 42. We're going to start out with a responsive reading of verses 1 through 7. If you have a bulletin, open it up. Look at the inside right-hand panel of it. It has responsive reading in it. The audience will read the bold-faced text. I'll read the non-bold-faced text. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7 says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth.
I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles.
He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law.
Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein.
I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles.
To open the blind eyes.
To bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in the darkness, out of the prison house.
Father, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for those that are here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being in this place. Lord, you promised us to be here with us. Lord, you said we're two or more gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of thee. Lord, we love you for that. We thank you for being here. We pray your Holy Spirit would touch hearts today, Lord, and change lives, that you would lift us up and focus us upon you. And Lord God, those who are bruised, that you would raise up. Those who are nearly quenched, that you would give fire to. And Lord God, that you would just move through this place today and glorify your name. We love you. We adore you. We praise you. We thank you for all you do. It's in Christ's precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Oh, it's good to see everybody today. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. A lot of people will go home and have Super Bowl parties and get all excited over the Super Bowl. And I don't know. I'm not a sports fan. I don't really get it. I didn't really know who was playing in the Super Bowl until I looked it up yesterday. And I've already forgotten. I think one of them was the Patriots. Who was the other one?
Eagles.
The Eagles. The Patriots and the Eagles. And I just don't get it. I don't get that excited over the Super Bowl. I remember a story one time I heard about a newlywed couple. And they were sitting out watching their first Super Bowl together. And the bride didn't understand anything about the game. And she's sitting there watching her husband. And he's shouting and screaming at the TV, shaking his fist, just getting red in the face, and just hollering over and over again. And come to halftime, he calmed down and he looked at her and he said, honey, how do you like the game so far? She said, I don't understand why y'all are that excited over a little bit of money. He said, what do you mean? She said, well, the game started, y'all flipped a coin up in the air, and then you started fighting ever since. She said, you keep yelling at the screen, get the quarterback. She said, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I don't. But I do get excited in the church. And people say, why do you get excited in the church? And I get excited because Jesus promised. He said, if you're gathered together in my name, I will be in your midst. Amen. And Jesus is the one that saved me and lifted me up and brought me out of my sin. And I love seeing Jesus. Amen. When God's people get together, they see Jesus. When they come together focused on him, they see Jesus. We see a beautiful picture today of a servant in Isaiah 42. And when we read this, it doesn't tell us who this servant is. But this servant is Jesus. You ask me, how do I know that this unnamed servant is Jesus? Well, you know, if you read your Bible, the Bible will interpret the Bible. The Bible will tell you what it means. And you might want to write this down. If you were to write down Matthew chapter 12 and go back and read Matthew chapter 12, you would see that the apostle attributes this verse to Jesus. And give you the background on Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus went to church one day. He went into the synagogue. And as he moved into the synagogue, the Pharisees, who were mad at Jesus because they caught him and his disciples eating corn on the Sabbath, they were all upset. And they asked Jesus, when they walked into the temple, they said, this man with this crippled hand, is it lawful to heal him on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to heal? That's a stupid question. Because I think God can do anything he wants to do anytime God wants to do it. But he said, is it lawful? And the self-righteous Pharisees used the crippled man as an example. And that's all self-righteous people can do. All they can do is point out the errors of other people because it makes them feel good. Jesus looked at those Pharisees and he told them this. He said, listen to me. He said, if you had a sheep that fell in the ditch today, you would have got it out. And he said, a man is worth much more than a sheep. Then Jesus did something that was beautiful. He looked at that man with that crippled hand and he said, stretch forth your hand. Reach out to me. And when that man tried to stretch forth his hand, the Bible says Jesus healed him in that very moment.
Amen.
Jesus loves broken people.
Amen.
He loves to reach out to those that are broken. He loves to reach out to sinners. He loves to reach out to people who are in need. That's what Jesus loves. The Pharisees, the Bible says, went away that day and plotted to kill Jesus. And as soon as Jesus heard that, he left that church that day. See, Jesus don't like to stay where he's not welcome. And he won't stay where he's not welcome. But when you come together under his name, he comes into place.
Amen.
He went out that day and the Bible says he started healing multitudes. And everybody that came to him, Jesus lifted them up. If they were blind, he lifted them up. If they were sick, he lifted them up. If they were crippled, he lifted them up. No matter what it was, when they came to Jesus, Jesus lifted them up. And then the Bible says Jesus told everybody that he healed, don't go and don't tell anybody who did this. You say, wait a minute. Why did he do that? Well, if you read in Matthew chapter 12, and I told you this verse, verses 16 through 21, it says, Jesus warned them not to make himself known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I've chosen, beloved, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he'll declare justice to the Gentiles. He'll not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will trust. He quotes that passage that we read this morning. So Matthew tells me that this is about Jesus. I'm going to accept that. Amen. Amen. It's about Jesus. Let's look at the text. He says, first of all, behold my servant. Who was Jesus? Jesus, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God became flesh. We're told in John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is the servant of God. He's the Son of God. He's the only begotten of God. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 1 that God said of Jesus, it says, in these last days I speak to you by my Son. I have appointed him heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. And he upholds all things by the power of his word. And by himself he purged our sins. Who is this servant? This is God's Son. This is God's Son who came from a throne in heaven. This is God's Son who came to this earth. And this is God's Son who purged our sins. He purged our sins in his body on the tree, the Bible tells us. And the reason he did that was Jesus loves you. And he loves me. I'm going to say that again. Jesus loves you and he loves me.
Amen.
We're broken things. We're fallen things. We do the wrong thing. And we know we do the wrong thing. We try to justify it. But Jesus came so that we might have reconciliation with God. And whenever we sinned against God, we were separated from God because of our sins. But Jesus is the servant who came. His entire life, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I came to do my Father's will. This is the one that is the Father's servant. And he came to this earth for you and for me. He died on Calvary for you and for me. He's the one that God said in Hebrews, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. He is the one who came. He's the one who came, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10. Because when Jesus came into the world, God said, sacrifice and offering I do not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you have no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come in the volume of the book written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of God, which was to offer salvation in him. And he loves everyone, and that's what he did. The Bible tells us that he is the servant of God. Look at verse number 1 again. I have put my spirit upon him. The Father gave to the Son the Spirit of God. And the Son gives to his people the Spirit of God. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, I praise God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God because when God's Holy Spirit moves, lives are changed. I could preach all day long about Jesus, but if God's Spirit is not in this place, you won't pay any attention to me. It won't get down into your heart. But Jesus said, he told his disciples one day, I've got to go. I can imagine that. Being one of the disciples sitting with Jesus in this, Jesus tells him, he says, I've got to go. And they all said, where do you have to go, Master? Where do you have to go? He said, I've got to go because it's better for you that I go. And he said, when I go, I will send my spirit to you. Beloved, can I tell you this? If you receive Jesus, you received a full salvation because God's Spirit is in you now. And God is with you wherever you go. You know, some people have a part-time Christianity. I want you to know something. If you got a part-time Christianity, you aren't saved.
Amen.
Jesus came to give us a whole-time Christianity. Some people think that Jesus lives only in this building, but Jesus lives in the hearts of his people. He said, where two or more are gathered together, in my name, there I am. And beloved, I tell you this, I'm glad to see a crowd today, but I'm just as glad to see two or three.
Amen.
Because if two or three are focused on Jesus, Jesus will be in that place.
Amen.
Jesus gave His Spirit to His people. He said, when I go, I'm going to send my Spirit to you so that I can be with you wherever you go. And God gives us a full-time Savior. He says, I'll put my Spirit upon him. And in verse number 1, He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Do you know that we were at one time a forsaken people? God always intended to come to the Gentile. You say, what's a Gentile? Look at the neighbor, one you're sitting on a bench next to. That's a Gentile. Take a minute, look at them. Look at one another. I'm looking at a room full of Gentiles right now. You know, a Gentile was anybody who was not a Jew. And God gave His gospel to the Jews. But the Jews did not share the gospel like they were supposed to. You know why that is? Because we like familiar things. You know, whenever I have people stand up and go across and give a handful, shake hands with one another, you know what I notice when I'm standing on the stage? Y'all all go to your friends first. You look for your friends. You'll eventually go to a stranger. You'll eventually do that. But we like the familiar. Y'all amen that?
Amen.
That's what we like. When Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world, He was speaking of us. Whenever Jesus ascended into heaven, what did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem because they were comfortable in Jerusalem. But God eventually got His way, because God will always get His way. God wanted to reach out to every person. And God did not come to this world. Jesus did not come to this world for just one class of people. He came for everybody.
Amen.
He came for the handsome people. And I'm looking at some handsome people.
Amen.
And He came for the ugly ones. And I'm not going to say who it is. He came for the smart ones. And He came for the dumb ones. He came for everyone. He came for me. That ought to shock you. Amen.
Amen.
But He came for everybody. Everybody. Because God loves everybody. He knocked down the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road and sent him specifically to the Gentiles, because God did not want anybody left out. And I want y'all to know this. If you die and lift up your eyes in hell one day, it will not be because Jesus did not reach out to you.
Amen.
God reaches out to everyone.
Amen.
And He says, whosoever will receive me, then they will have eternal life. He is the servant of God that has the Holy Spirit. He gives judgment to the Gentiles. And what else do we see about Jesus? In verse number 2, He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. Jesus did not have to do that. He didn't go about promoting Himself, but Jesus went about saying that He was the one that was sent of God. In verse number 3, He says an interesting thing. He says, a bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. What does that mean? A bruised reed is something that's been stepped on, a bamboo, piece of bamboo that's been bent down. Jesus, when He came, did not come to break anybody down. He came to lift you up.
Amen.
And if you've been trampled by life, Jesus came to reach out to you. He came to shore you up and to lift you up. Where He says, a smoking flax He'll not quench. Jesus, He came. Have y'all ever seen every time I do a birthday cake, I light up the candles. Y'all know those things? You light them candles? You'll always have some candles that are barely lit. They're barely lit. Sometimes we're barely lit. Sometimes life weighs us down. Sometimes life holds us down. But Jesus didn't come to blow that flame out. But He came to give us the spark of life. You know, I tell people that walking around hang dog and looking like the world beat them to death. You know what you need? You don't need a Valium. You need Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. You don't need a visit to a psychiatrist or a doctor. You need Jesus.
Amen.
Every time I get to feeling bad, you know what my problem is? I do a self-assessment. I'm spending too much time looking in the mirror at this. And that'll scare you to death to look at it too much. Amen.
Amen.
But when I get focused on myself and I get focused in my own power, then my life gets pretty miserable. But when I look away from this right here and I look up and I trust Jesus, Jesus infuses my life. And He makes me feel good. You say, preacher, do you ever get discouraged? Yeah, I do when I look at some people's faces. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm telling you all about Jesus, and some of you are still not hearing me. You're not going to be happy until you got Jesus in your life. Amen. Jesus needs to be there every moment of every day. He needs to be the one that you're looking up to. Jesus is the one that will never abandon you, and He's the one that will help you when you're down. Jesus will be there when you're in the valley, and when you're on the mountaintop, Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there when you're through the dark times and the light times. Jesus will be there. But you've got to call on the name of Jesus. You've got to trust Jesus.
Amen.
You've got to give your life to Jesus. You've got to take those burdens and lay them down at His feet. So many times people lay the burden down at Jesus' feet and they pray and Jesus takes them away and then they'll get up, pick up them burdens again and put them back on their shoulders. You'll never get better that way. Give them to Jesus. Ask Jesus to make you forgive and Jesus will take care of you. I want to tell you all this. Beloved, I've been through a lot of dark times in my life. I've shared my story with you before. Had my left leg crushed in 1983. I'm still walking. Why? Because Jesus made me walk. I lost a baby back in 98. I'm still standing. Why? Because Jesus let me see into heaven and know my baby's all right. No matter what I've been through, my Jesus has been there and He'll be there for you too.
Amen.
You trust Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He is the one that will lift us up. And Jesus, look there at verse number 4. He shall not fail or be discouraged. Oh, Jesus can't fail. If you're standing in Jesus, you can't lose. You will always win. If you're discouraged, you're not standing where you need to be because Jesus is never discouraged. God has a plan and God sees the beginning from the end. Jesus is there. He'll not fail nor neither be discouraged. Why? In verse number 5 it says, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk in. God says, I have called Jesus in righteousness. I have set Jesus up. I am the one who have made everything and I am holding His hand. He says in verse number 6, I've called thee Jesus in righteousness. I'll hold your hand. I'll keep you and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I want to look at that for just a moment. He says, I the Lord have called thee, the servant, Jesus in righteousness. If you're born again, you will walk in righteousness. You will do what God tells you to do. That don't mean you won't fail. Because we've all failed.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
We've all failed. But when we fail in Jesus, what do? We confess our sins to Jesus. We stand up and we move on. We trust Him. He said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we walk in righteousness. I've had people say, I'm in Jesus, but I'm still going to be a drunkard. No, beloved, you're not.
Amen.
You're absolutely not.
Amen.
I know it may be a disease, but no, that's not true. If you come to Jesus, the Bible says God will clean you up.
Amen.
I would not want to show y'all a picture of what I was before Jesus got hold of me. But I will say this, you wouldn't want me in your house if you knew all the evil that God took out of me. But God is able.
Amen.
God is able to change the life that surrendered to Him. So you'll walk in righteousness if you give yourself to Jesus. And something else we see. He says, I'll hold thine hand. I love that. Because the Father says, I'll hold my Son's hand. And the Son says, I'll hold your hand. That's a wonderful chain. Amen.
Amen.
I love that. Jesus said one day, told the people, He said, nobody's going to take you out of my hand. Oh, I love that. Y'all better smile. I'm going to preach till 2 p.m. Oh, praise God. He said, nobody will take you out of my hand. And the disciples said, what do you mean, nobody? Jesus said, I got my hand around you. He said, not only that, my Father has His hand around you. And we've got to wrap our hands around you. God and God and God has their hand around you. Who in the world is going to take you away? Oh, what a wonderful thing that Jesus has your hand. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Give God a hand for that. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being there. Thank you for the love you give to me. Thank you for holding my hand. But then He says, I'll keep you. Oh, man, I need a keeper. How about y'all?
Amen.
He said, I'll keep you. I'll guard you. I'll look after you. And anything that comes into your life, can I tell you this? It comes under the eye of Jesus.
Amen.
If you've given yourself to Jesus, everything that comes, whether it's dark or whether it's light. This past Friday, we lost a dear sister in the Lord. She's with Jesus now.
Amen.
I remember the last time I saw her. Went to her house. She's laying in that bed. And I'll talk about this at the funeral tomorrow too. Because what a wonderful testimony that was. But as I sat there with her, I asked, and she looked at me and she said, I am so ready to see my Jesus.
Amen.
She said, I am so ready to see my Lord. I said, I am too, sister. And we prayed together before I left. I said, will you tell my son, I said, hi. Will you talk to my mom and my daddy? Will you talk to my grandma when you get there? She said, I will. I think on the other side of glory right now, they're having a party.
Amen.
Because there's no sickness or pain or sadness or anything like that. The old things are passed away because Jesus makes all things new.
Amen.
He said, I'll guard you. Jesus guards his people. But I want you to notice what he says next. He says, I will give you for a covenant of the people. When we call to salvation, we're not calling for you to make a promise to me. We're not calling for you to make a promise to this church. We're asking you to receive Jesus Christ as the covenant of God. The Father said, the covenant I make with you is my Son. To receive Jesus as he is, as Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In the Old Testament, people cut covenants, made contracts by killing animals. The Father made a covenant with us by allowing his Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And God shed the most precious thing he's ever had, the blood of his own beloved Son for us. So the Father says, will you accept this covenant? If you accept Christ as the covenant, then God promises never to leave you nor forsake you. But if you reject the blood of the covenant, if you reject Christ, if you say, I think I'm going to get there on my own good works or my own good looks or my own good intentions, you'll never make it.
Amen.
You've got to have Jesus.
Amen.
Accept Jesus. Receive Jesus as he is. And God will bless you. Father, we love you so very much. As we come to you today, Lord, we praise you so much for Christ. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for being that servant who died for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the love that you bestowed on us. And we thank you, Jesus, for being here in this place today. I felt your presence today, Lord. I know you are here. Lord, I pray that you would touch every heart. Have every life examined by that soul and ask themselves, are they in covenant with you? Are you their covenant? Lord Jesus, if they are, I pray that you would lift up their hearts. Lord, if they're downcast, let them cast their cares upon you because you care for them. Let them walk with you every day, day by day, because Jesus, you didn't come to secure a part-time salvation for us, but an entire-time salvation. And Lord Jesus, I pray, if there's any today that do not know you as Lord and Savior, today would be the day they'd say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. And Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me. Because, Lord, if they do that, you promised they will be saved. It's in Christ's precious and holy name we ask these things. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Turn with me to number 608.
hope you'll be back at 4 o'clock. We have our vacation Bible school meeting at 4. If your parents want to come up here and bring your children, we'll be talking about the vacation Bible school we're going to have this year. It's going to be fantastic. 5 o'clock for discipleship training. We'll meet in here. And 6 o'clock, we'll not have service, but we will minister at Oaks and Nichols to the family of Shirley Pilkington. So we're going to go out, love them. And tomorrow, don't forget, bring food. 1 o'clock, we're going to feed the family. It's good to be in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go out and minister for Him. Let's go out and smile at somebody. Let's go out and lift up the name of Jesus. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Susie, you're on my heart today. So how about you close us in prayer?